Welcome to the second episode in our IHS Market Perception podcast series, which pairs up a member of our perception team with an IHS Market subject matter expert to discuss the latest hot topics impacting corporate issuers and their investor relations teams. I'm Michael Miller, Director IR Advisory, and I will be your moderator. On today's podcast, we will discuss a topic that has been featured in many recent newspaper headlines, given the significant market volatility we are seeing: activism. Joining me today are Madison Coffing, a research analyst from our Corporate Shareholder Identification Group, and Alexi Mayer, a senior research analyst from our Perception team. During this episode, we will get some unique insights based on Maddie's expertise in the field and discuss Alexi's recent findings from the IHS Market Perspective series. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. To start off, Alexi, can you remind our audience what the IHS Market Perspective series is all about?
Yes, of course. So since the beginning of the pandemic, when we started to see significant market fluctuations and general uncertainty, our perception team has been engaging in daily conversations with the buy and sell sides to gather real-time market feedback. The goal has been to leverage this market intelligence in order to publish white papers on the most pressing hot topics to help our clients navigate through this difficult time.
And how did the questions around activism come about?
So when the COVID-19 pandemic caused economic activity to shut down, the stock market declines were rapid and significant. Immediately, we started hearing chatter about whether or not activism still has a role in this new environment. Should campaigns pause under these conditions to allow companies to focus on stabilizing their balance sheets and finding their feet? Or would it be even more important for activists to aggressively agitate for change? We thought it would be a valuable exercise to canvas investors and analysts to understand how their interactions with their own portfolio companies have been affected by activism.
Very interesting, and thank you. So to begin our discussion, Maddie, what role does activism play in the market under normal conditions?
Yeah, so regardless of market conditions, the activist's role is to push for a change that will ultimately lead to better shareholder returns. In Japan, for example, there was a recent corporate governance overhaul, which led to new regulations that actually encourage investors to press companies to improve profitability and capital efficiency. Activists target underperforming stocks in which they can see a path to greater returns, either through board composition or management change, M&A, or even pushing for a completely different growth strategy.
So in the sentiment interviews, there was a group of respondents that describe activism as an essential tool for the smooth operations of the market. So this group believes that irrespective of the situation, shareholders should apply pressure to ensure desired outcomes. For example, if management are not demonstrating that they have shareholder interests in mind, shareholders should address this, whether or not the company's top line is facing strain or they're facing other challenges, you know, external factors. So in addition, some suggest that there's also a drive to make companies more socially responsible, and it's becoming more common for activists to express their opinions anyway.
Absolutely, and agree with that. One question that we hear all the time is, does activism matter to all buy-side firms, or is it just specialist investors that engage in this sort of behavior?
Most of the major campaigns and big headlines you see are done by firms that specialize in activist strategies. However, there's a growing trend of more buy-side firms that are not typical activists by becoming more vocal, and they're pushing back against management teams. This shift isn't really surprising when you look at some of the broader trends happening in the market. For example, take a look at the move to passive funds from active. Active fund managers need to work harder to prove their value, and one of the ways to do that is by becoming more vocal with the companies that they hold. A recent example of first-time activism was when Wellington Management published a letter last year stating that it would vote against Bristol-Myers' planned acquisition of Celgene. That was pretty big news for the time, and after Wellington went public, activist Starboard Value followed their stance opposing the merger, and eventually other top shareholders like Dodge & Cox, a firm that's not considered an activist, also opposed the merger. There's some research from Lazard that showed that first-time activism rose to 40 cases in 2019, up from 23 in 2017. It's clearly becoming a more popular tactic, but generally most of the campaigns that happen are from those more experienced and specialized firms.
And out of the investors we spoke to on the perception side, many acknowledge that they do not actively engage in activist behaviors themselves, but they did stress, however, that they are aware of these discussions between companies and their shareholders. See, these engagements can have material effects on stock prices. So even the shareholders that do not write letters themselves or try to actively determine the course of action for their companies can still have strong opinions on whether activism is appropriate or not and how companies and shareholders should go about doing it.
Great. That's very thorough and interesting. Thank you both. Now with COVID-19, How does this all change? As discussed in the previous podcast we did on ESG, one might say that there are more pressing financial issues for companies to consider than spending time engaging with shareholders. On the other hand, some of the issues that activists raised might have enduring relevance to an investment case that's being made. So maybe activism is even growing more important than before. What is the market telling us?
Well, what we've seen at the global level is that activist campaigns have slowed during the pandemic, but that there are still activists who have used the market sell-off to their advantage in order to increase stakes in their targets. Looking at public ownership data as of the end of Q1 2020, the overall value held by activist investors decreased in eight out of the top 10 countries with the most activist ownership. Largely, the value decrease can be attributed to the global sell-off, but in two countries that saw increases, Japan and Ireland, there's clearly some buying happening.
So as you both mentioned, there are different sides to the argument, and that's also reflected in the qualitative feedback. Some respondents suggest that perhaps the pandemic actually catalyzed this activity, and perhaps rightfully so, as companies are being scrutinized for how they allocate capital. For example, levering up to buy back shares, but then laying off staff or asking for government bailouts. Some also suggest that investors have recently had the opportunity to buy larger stakes in companies for cheaper, let's say. And of note, we saw Bill Ackman in March continuing to try to influence the behavior of companies he owned, urging them to cut their buyback programs. So another viewpoint reflecting the feedback is that activists should pause their efforts to pressure companies during the pandemic. Personally, this is what I thought a lot of the feedback would be initially, particularly because when we started the project, we saw some high profile cases of activists doing just that, so dialing back their intentions. So, for example, Carl Icahn was trying to oust the board of Occidental, but sort of walk back some of the demands as the crisis hit. The group of respondents that said that activism should be paused believes that activists might monopolize management's time. And as outsiders, investors might not really understand what a company needs to do to continue operating successfully day to day. Or they might say that activists do not have a company's long-term interests at heart and might overemphasize returning cash to shareholders when it's unnecessary to. So a lot of people just assume activism means asking companies to buy back shares more, but it's a bit more nuanced than that. But anyway, as a result, this group believes that activism at present might harm a company's share price.
Sounds like two different perspectives there. So how do we know which side is correct?
So ultimately, it will be very hard to tell until sometime in the future who is right currently. We don't really know the counterfactual at present, but it will also depend on the extent of the crisis. How long does it go on for? What the knock-on effects will be on society? Is this going to result in a paradigm shift for how everyday people live their lives and consume goods and services? So like with ESG and technology that we've explored in previous insights, there are a lot of unanswered questions. Will business travel ever come back? Will people work from home and meet via Zoom even when COVID-19 is quote-unquote solved and the world opens up? So at present, is activism going to hinder or help companies and corresponding their securities? We just do not know. What we can be sure of is that investors and analysts are keenly looking out for new data points to see how the situation will evolve.
Yeah, Alexei, the point you made about the paradigm shifts happening is really relevant as it pertains to activism and what to expect going forward. We're certainly going to see some structural changes across different end markets, and not all management teams would have handled the shift well, which will lead to lower valuations. Activists will see those situations as an opportunity, and those opportunities will become clear as Q2 earnings results come out.
So to wrap it all up, what does this mean for our listener? What should they be thinking about in planning for the second half of 2020 and beyond?
Going into the second half of the year, I would expect public activist campaigns to increase. Q2 earnings will shine a light on which companies are the most vulnerable. And there's already some noise about in the market around private discussions between activists and companies to start going public in the next few months. I believe we'll see certain trends continue, such as activism campaigns around M&A. Over the past few years, takeover bids and being vocal around certain M&A strategies by activists have become more common. And this year, campaigns pushing for M&A have gone a step further, with strategic buyers partnering with activist investors to conduct takeover bids. This was most recently depicted by Senator Investment Group and Kinney Holdings making a bid for CoreLogic. While the joint move is rare, intelligence suggests that Wall Street may see more of these coordinated efforts in the activist space, especially as public letters to shareholders and proxy values have waned in recent years.
Great. Thank you. And very thorough information from both of you. So I want to take the time now to thank Maddie and Alexei once again for their time and providing insights and perspectives on the important topic of activism. As a reminder, this is part of a multi-part series, so please click on the link to subscribe to listen to our prior podcast on ESG as well. And thank you all for listening, and we look forward to the next time. Have a great day.